One day away from the start of week six of the NFL season. Everything pushed back a day this week because, of course, Thanksgiving. We were off on Monday. So we get a little opportunity to chat with our main man, Jason Lacanfora, on a Wednesday as opposed to a Tuesday, which means the day before Thursday night football when things kick, when things get going tomorrow. Of course, we got lots to talk about with Drew Brees. The NFL trade deadline is very quickly approaching as well. It's time to check in with our NFL insider, Jason Lacanfora. Mr. Lacanfora, how are you today?
What's going on?
Not much, not much. We just finished our Thanksgiving weekend. I know yours is coming up in a number of weeks, yeah, so we're all done Thanksgiving up here. And
happy belated Thanksgiving. I hope everyone enjoyed their turkey and all the fixings.
We did indeed, and the best part is then we get to enjoy your Thanksgiving and watch football all day in a few weeks. That's the best part about being Canadian and a football fan. Exactly.
Yeah, man.
I know it was a few days ago, but I did want to get your thoughts on Drew Brees and what he accomplished on Monday night when we all knew it was going to happen, but broke Peyton Manning's record for passing yards career and is now the all-time passing leader in NFL history. For so long, Brees has kind of been that guy who gets lost in the shuffle with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers all playing as his contemporaries. I mean, it's tough to talk about other people when you've got those guys playing as well. But now he's getting some spotlight, and I think it's very deserved that he's getting this attention right now because he's the type of guy, and with what he's accomplished, clearly he deserves that type of spotlight.
Without a doubt. You don't get 72, or on the cusp of 72,000 passing yards and about to break the touchdown mark just because you played a long time. I mean, a lot of these guys are playing into their late 30s. Peyton, you know, played till basically 40. Tom's, who knows when Tom's going to stop. You know, and this is a prolific era. This is a time of more passing than we've ever seen before, and so that has something to do with it, but you can't take anything away from Drew Brees and what he's accomplished. And the Saints, I mean, people forget about what a sad sack franchise the Saints were. I mean, you know, they had their sort of Sam Mills teams in the 80s where they finally got going defensively and were competitive for a while. But then that was a team where the owner was looking at San Antonio and other places he might be able to move it to, and the stadium had become a dump and was dilapidated, and then obviously Hurricane Katrina and the travesty that was and how that devastated that area. And I don't like to get into the narratives of athletes lifting cities or anything like that. I mean, I think that stuff gets overblown. But he did save that franchise in some ways. And without him stabilizing that thing and being one of the greatest ever, I don't know that that organization is in the condition it's in now, and I don't know that they get the upgrades of that stadium and that facility that they got, and I don't know if the Saints are still in New Orleans, frankly. So he's that sort of a generational talent, and it gets obscured somewhat because his career completely dovetails with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and those three are probably headed to Mount Rushmore, you know, or most people's quarterback Mount Rushmores when you start talking the greatest of all time. But, you know, Brees is still incredibly effective. This ain't, you know, a retirement tour where it's a guy past his prime and everybody's giving him rocking chairs, but he should have been gone years ago. I mean, he's continuing to be one of the very best, and that's a team that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations, and he might not be done collecting rings yet.
Well, and you talk about how he gets to New Orleans, right? And what he did for that city and what he did for the organization. But, you know, how he ended up getting to New Orleans and how his association with the Saints all began is actually kind of interesting and didn't necessarily look like he was going to go that way. Take us back to when Brees was done his time with San Diego. He'd had his shoulder surgery and was looking for a place to play. How did New Orleans end up being his new home?
Well, I mean, this was not a guy who people were coveting. I mean, the Chargers had basically decided we're going to have to go in another direction. You know, our doctors aren't sure of what's going to be left in that arm after surgery, and there's no guarantees that he comes back and is, you know, a functional NFL quarterback. So they had sort of labeled him a medical reject, and that led to them drafting Phillip Rivers. And the Miami Dolphins were the first team to bring him in, and they had grave concerns about the situation. And they preferred Dante Culpepper at the time, and Nick Saban was was their head coach then. And had he picked the other quarterback, maybe he never goes back to college, and maybe that Alabama dynasty never happens down there in the SEC. But they had, you know, they had the same concerns, and they felt Dante Culpepper was a better way to go in terms of their veteran quarterback need. And there were only a couple other teams looking, and New Orleans was one. And, you know, the lineage of quarterbacks prior to Drew Brees in New Orleans isn't very good, you know. I mean, that's never, you go back to Archie Manning, but, like, I mean, Archie Manning was beloved, and he was a native son, but it's not like Archie Manning was dominating. I mean, he just was the face of those bad teams, and he had, you know, been a Heisman Trophy winner in college, but his pro career wasn't exactly completely decorated. So, yeah, they'd had a need there forever, and they bought low on him, and he hooked up with a guy in Sean Payton who's an absolute quarterback guru and one of the more inventive play callers and aggressive coordinators in this league, and it turned out to be the perfect marriage. And, I mean, they've taken that organization to heights that few thought they'd ever achieve, and they're not, again, they are far from done.
Yep. Well, and that's, like, how much more does Brees have left? I mean, he doesn't look like a 39-year-old quarterback right now.
No, he's still one of the most efficient and productive quarterbacks on the planet. And he's one of the smartest and most cerebral. And he's in a great situation there with a lot of, they've retooled around him. You know, that Ingram is still a very good running back, and you add in Kamara and you add in Thomas. And, you know, what they've done to that offensive line, they've improved that the last few years. And he's got what he needs around him to succeed. They play in a dome. They play at least 9 dome games a year. A lot of years it probably turns out to be 10 or 11. You know, they've got Atlanta, a dome team in their division. So, you know, that part of it, they're on a fast track. You don't have to worry about weather, wind, any of that stuff. And they can run that sort of an offense without having to worry about outside conditions mucking it up. So, no, I mean, the question just becomes every year when he goes home and spends time with his young kids, does he just decide, man, it would be really awesome, you know what I mean, to coach my kids' flag football teams and, you know, be home on the weekends and enjoy the fruits of my labor. And that's coming sooner rather than later. But I don't think he's done after this year, you know, and he's got term left on his contract. So, you know, could he play through his early 40s? Yeah, I mean, could he be at 42 doing what Tom Brady's doing at 42? I wouldn't bet against it.
So then, final thought on Drew Brees and the Saints. You talked about them having legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. They beat the Redskins 43-19 over the weekend, and now sit 4-1 on the year. Where do the Saints fit in the NFC playoff picture?
I mean, look, they had a bit of a slow start. I think they believe some of their own press clippings. They got run over by the Bucs week one, and they barely survived the Browns week two. But I think defensively, they've gotten much better. They need to add a corner, and I expect them to be aggressive before the trade deadline, trying to add one. You know, Lattimore has taken a bit of a step back this year, and now he's dinged up. They've had some other injuries to the secondary. But, you know, Marcus Davenport has come on, their first-round pick, who they mortgaged a lot of their future to move up and get. They've got pass rush. They've got good interior defensive linemen. That defense is starting to, I think, find its sea legs again. And get after it. And that was obviously a much improved unit last year, the most improved unit in the NFL. And we know what they can do offensively. So, I mean, I think they're formidable. I mean, the Vikings aren't this juggernaut that some thought they would be. Their offensive line is struggling. Their defensive line is struggling. And the Rams are the best team in the NFC, but, like, okay, no Talib, Marcus Peters on one leg. They had two receivers get concussions this week. I mean, the carnage is mounting there, and, you know, do they get more vulnerable as the season goes on? And the Eagles, they don't look like a playoff team, much less the team that won the Lombardi Trophy. So, yeah, I think things set up pretty good for the Saints. I mean, they've already got a victory over Atlanta. Atlanta looks like they're falling by the wayside. I mean, they've got to worry about Carolina. I mean, there'll be plenty of tough games up ahead. But I fancy the Saints' chances. I picked them to reach the Super Bowl, you know, and we'll see.
With Jason Lacanfora. He's our NFL insider, CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Joins us twice a week on Pinder and Steinberg here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, so that is the latest on Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. The NFL is now all-time passing leader. We're getting closer to the NFL's trade deadline at the end of the month. Before we get there, though, there's still lots of wonder about what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell. It is our weekly Le'Veon Bell update with Jason Lacanfora. What's the latest on Pittsburgh's running back?
They still very much want to trade him. They're hoping that market heats up. There's concerns about bringing him back into that locker room and how he would be welcomed by his teammates. Ben Roethlisberger came out today and gave a very public impassioned soliloquy supporting Connor and saying we can't throw this guy by the wayside even if Le'Veon comes back. The way the wind is blowing there, they're looking at it as addition by subtraction. Now, they're not just going to give him away, but if the Philadelphia Eagles, who've talked to them a few times before, just sort of exploratory talks, you know, they play Thursday night. If they call on the over the weekend and say, look, all right, we got to do something to save our season. Here's a three for Le'Veon Bell. I think the Steelers think long and hard about it. If it's anything more than that, I think they'd jump and take that deal immediately, and I think they'd have to even consider a third-round pick at this point. I think they're sick of having it hanging over them. They're not sure what kind of condition he's in. They don't know how much he'd be able to contribute right away, and they don't know that their football players want to be around Le'Veon Bell after he's kind of bailed on them through we're getting close to half a season. So still 3 weeks away, so nothing imminent. But I don't think he'll play for them again. I think they'll be able to trade.
A lot of buzz about Philadelphia over the last 24 hours and how good a fit that would be for Bell. Is that a legitimate landing spot for him?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I reported weeks ago that they were the team calling the most, asking the most questions. And they had interest before many other people thought they had interest. And this was before, you know, Jai was lost for the year. So then, you know, you get in a situation where Sproles still can't stay on the field. Now Corey Clement's banged up too, and you're playing the Vikings, you know, fighting for your life with Wendell Smallwood, who was a healthy scratch 3 weeks ago, as your every down back. That's not how they drew it up. So, yeah, they want to do something. They've made a call on LeSean McCoy. You know, there's probably some other options out there as well. You know, if I were them, I'd call John Gruden about Marshawn Lynch. You know, I would check a bunch of stuff out with bad teams that have older quarterbacks who make older running backs who make decent money who might not be there next year. Howie's going to do something. It's just a matter of who he gets. But I wouldn't be surprised if he made two moves. I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to add a running back and a corner. Now, he only has $11 million in cap space, so he can't go too crazy. But he could also trade Nick Foles, which then creates another $5 million in space.
So, and you mentioned LeSean McCoy in Buffalo, and I know that head coach Sean McDermott did not pour cold water on potential trade rumors for him today, basically opened up things even more by not outright denying that they're shopping him. Is he for sure gone before the deadline?
No. In fact, I don't know that the odds are that great. He signed for one more year beyond this. They want to have something. I mean, Josh Allen doesn't have much to do. Josh Allen doesn't really have any skill position players around him now. You take Shady McCoy away with that offensive line, I don't know. It's going to make it real hard to even evaluate Josh Allen from week to week. So I think, look, I mean, they're a rebuilding team. If somebody blew them away, that's one thing. But this is not like last year where the Bills were actively calling teams about Marcell Dareus and Cordy Glenn and saying, look, we just want to dump their salaries. You know, we'll take pennies on the dollar. Like, we want these guys. These guys are not a part of our long-term future. You know, and we're open for business. That's not the case this year. I'm not saying that means a trade won't happen, but somebody would have to really be willing to give. I mean, McCoy's contract I think he's making like $8 a year, which is not crazy. He signed for one more year. I mean, that's a pretty decent asset for them. So somebody would have to really make them think twice.
Anyone else that we should have our eye on? Any other big names that could be moving prior to the deadline?
I have a few, but I can't let the cat out of the bag just yet. Sunday. Check me out on the NFL Today Sunday morning. I may have some interesting tidbits for you.
Okay, I like that. NFL Today on Sunday morning on CBS with Jason Lacanfora. We will absolutely do that. Okay, final thought. Thursday Night Football Week 6 starts tomorrow. 2-3 Eagles, 1-4 Giants. It's a rivalry, but neither team is overwhelmed to this point. What do we got coming up tomorrow? What do you see?
Well, the trend this year is the home team has won. I mean, and it's been ugly, right? The Eagles were ugly Week 1. The Bengals tried to give a game back to the Ravens that it looked like they had won at halftime. It hasn't always been dominant, but you tend to err on the side of the home teams in this one in a short week, and especially with the Eagles as banged up as they are. I mean, they're patching guys off the waiver wire in the practice squad who are going to have to suit up for them, you know, with only 3 days between games. So it doesn't mean that Carson Wentz doesn't go out there and lights it up, but I do think the Giants' offense found a way to at least get the ball downfield a little bit. They found a way to feed Odell Beckham, and I don't know which corner, Jalen Mills has been just a disaster for the Eagles this year. Rodney McLeod, who's good in coverage, is banged up. They're short in the secondary, and the Giants have a tight end and two wide receivers who can move past a lot of people. So it shouldn't be a lot of excuses for Eli in this one. I think maybe they're catching the Eagles at the right time. It's a division game, so you never know, but I kind of lean to the Giants a little bit.
Good stuff as always, Jason. We'll talk to you in a couple of days to set up the rest of Week 6, but enjoy the start of Week 6 tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, you do the same. Enjoy the game. Thank you, buddy.